Are you thirsty? Come and drink deeply. Are you hungry? Come and be fed. Come in, my friends, and gather round the table and prepare to feast with the living God. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online or in the nursery, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of information about life at FCC and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have a very full playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care, and Sunday school a little bit later in the service. All right, we've got a few announcements coming up. It has felt like such a full and busy time at FCC Natick, but wait, there's more. So a few of these were a few weeks away, but I'm aware that some of you might go away next weekend, so I'm getting it on your calendars now. So 2 weeks from today, October 20th, is our Historical Society field trip. This is part of our open and affirming anniversary. This trip is the folks from the Historical Society are going to be specifically talking to us and showing us things that they have in the museum related to our history at FCC Natick, especially in relation to the Natick Praying Indians. So that's 12:30, Sunday, October 20th. The night before that, Saturday, October 19th, is the West Virginia Work Camp Concert. It's dinner and a show. There's info in the bulletin. It's actually held in Chelmsford. The key thing is you have to buy tickets to the dinner by October 16th. We'll have info about that on our website tomorrow. But right now, I just want you to know that if you want to go to the dinner, that's October. You have to buy the tickets by October 16th. If you want to just go to the show at 7 o'clock, you can get tickets at the door. We have a number of people in the congregation who aren't feeling well this morning, so we're swapping some roles. So Jeanette is in for Miriam as lay reader this morning. Thank you, Jeanette, for doing that. And this is World Communion Sunday. On the first Sunday of every month, we mark communion, and today is World Communion Sunday, where we are thinking about people gathering at tables around the world, especially places of pain and violence. So folks at home, I invite you to grab a bit of food and drink. In person, we'll be having gluten-free bread along with grape juice and wine. Folks in person, you'll be invited to come forward to receive the elements, or you can raise your hand to be served in your seat. This ritual of remembrance is open to all. Please participate to whatever extent is comfortable and meaningful for you. Now, on Communion Sundays, we usually receive the Communion Fund to help folks in the area who are in need, but today we decided to focus on hurricane relief. There are more details in your bulletin as well as later in the service. So this fall at FCC Natick, we are building the beloved community. We're grounding ourselves in an image of the world the way God intended it to be. We'll create glimpses of that world when we're together, and we'll grow our capacity for bringing that world to life. For those of us feeling anxious in this election season, may this time together give us strength, hope, and peace. This morning, we remember that the beloved community isn't just our congregation or just Metro West Massachusetts or even the United States. It's the whole world. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. I'm Jeanette. Please join me in the call to worship, in the bulletin and on the screen. The whole world is in God's hands.
Everything
that lives and breathes, everything that simply is, everything. From the farthest spaces to the inmost places, everything that lives and breathes, everything that simply is, everything. The whole world is beloved by God. Everything that lives and breathes, everything that simply is, everything. From the bird at our feeder to the stranger halfway around the world, everything that lives and breathes, everything that simply is, everything. God calls us to hold and love the whole world too. Everything that lives and breathes, everything simply is, everything. And our gathering hymn this morning is, "Let us talents and tongues employ." You're welcome to rise in body and spirit, and the words are found in your bulletin. Our centering prayer this morning is an invitation to confession, adapted from the words by Elsa Anders Cook. We begin with a brief silence, an opportunity to open our hearts to people half a world away, people we will never meet, but whose destiny is tied up with our own. Let us pray. Great living God, with open ears, we come as a global people to admit that our world is not as it should be. It is not what our ancestors imagined or even what we once dreamed it could be. There have been too many times recently that we have given up. We have believed the worst in people and allowed ourselves to be convinced that nothing in this whole wide world will ever change for the better. We have not seen glory, but only the tears of children. We have not seen the work of your fingers, but only environmental destruction. We have found no evidence that people are coming together to heal this world, but only the pain of separation. Oh God, forgive us for not seeing what you can see. Give us a hint of your glory today. Help us to remember that with you, all things are possible, and that you are with us, working in the world. Amen. Peace. Shanti. Pas. Fred. Paxt. Hasiti. Sipala. Pache. Shalom. Mir. Peace. On this day and every day, may we send peace to all our brothers and sisters and siblings, especially to those who live in the midst of devastation from climate change and war. We send the peace that does not go away, God's peace. Then we'll sing our song of celebration, a new one for the month of October. God's peace be with you. So with you. Our scripture reading this morning is from the prophet Jeremiah in the Hebrew Bible.
The prophet is speaking to the Hebrew people who are living in exile in Babylon. They are dealing with trauma and grief, and they are not sure how to live in a strange land.
Through Jeremiah, God seeks to reassure these people who are suffering, wondering if there is any hope for the future.
We read this passage on World Communion Sunday as we know there are many people suffering, both near and far.
Our Jewish neighbors, right here in Metro West, prepare not only for the most holy day of Yom Kippur, but also the first anniversary of October 7th, while also routinely facing hatred just for being Jewish.
Migrants across our state, including legal ones, seeking safety and ready to work hard, wrestle with broken systems while being targeted by political lies and threatened by racist propaganda.
Residents of the southeast U.S. are still learning how much has been lost in Hurricane Helene. But over 200 people are dead, hundreds of thousands without power and water, and the path to renewal is anything but clear.
The death toll in Gaza is over 40,000 people, including over 10,000 children. The trauma is beyond measure. Most of Israel's weapons come from the U.S.
Not to mention the prayer concerns each of us carries that we'll share later in the service.
The whole world is Babylon. We are exiled from the beloved community. Is there any hope?
The prophet Jeremiah speaks to us now, as he did thousands of years ago.
Hear his words in Spanish, then in English.
Porque así dice el Señor.
For thus says the Lord.
Cumpliré mis promesas y los traeré de regreso a este lugar.
I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place.
Porque yo conozco los planes que tengo para ustedes, planes de bienestar y no de calamidad, a fin de darles un futuro y una esperanza.
For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope.
Entonces, cuando me invoquen y vengan a orar a mí, yo les escucharé.
Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you.
Cuando me busquen, me encontrarán.
When you search for me, you will find me.
Yo me dejaré encontrar, dice el Señor, si me buscan con todo su corazón.
I will let you find me, says the Lord, if you seek me with all your heart.
Estas son nuestras historias sagradas. Ojalá tengamos la visión y la sabiduría para vivirlas.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen.
So children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Good morning. There's a tablecloth on the playground. That's so cute. So on the first Sunday of every month, we share communion in worship. Those of you who go to Godly Play, how many of you go to Godly Play over there? Those of you who Godly Play, you have communion every week. Did you know that? Do you know what you call it in Godly Play? Who knows what you call it in Godly Play? Snack. Feast. It's called Feast in Godly Play, but it's the same thing. It's communion just like here. Anyway, communion first Sunday of every month in the sanctuary. And in October, we call it World Communion Sunday, and we think about people all around the world who are sharing communion today. We might, people around the world, celebrate communion differently. We might even have different understandings of what it means to follow Jesus. But on this one Sunday, Christians around the world focus on what we have in common, the table where we gather to remind ourselves that God is always with us. Now, the first World Communion Sunday was held almost 100 years ago in a Presbyterian church. You don't have to worry about what Presbyterian means. I just said that for Bill. What do you always say about the something in order? Decently and in order is what the Presbyterians say. But you know what? World Communion didn't catch on for about 10 years. And then there was a terrible war. And people around the world were feeling scared and sad. And they wanted a way to remember that they were all connected, even when, especially when, hard things were happening. Being human means hard things are always happening. Even if there isn't a war, people are sick or hungry or lonely. But people around the world come to this table and we help each other imagine a different world. A world where everyone has what they need. A world where everyone feels cared for and understood. A world full of justice and peace. Of course, we don't just do that on World Communion Sunday or just on Communion Sundays for that matter. Every time we gather for worship, we help each other imagine what the prophet Jeremiah called a future with hope. And then we work to make that future happen. Okay, it's going to be way more interesting when you talk about it today in Godly Play, so let's get you there. Please join me in blessing these children and all children. God, in whose image all of us are made, bless the children in our midst and all children around the world. Help us imagine a world where they have all they need. Then help us make it so. Amen. Amen. FCC Natick, we have a stewardship team. They are charged with helping all of us think about the ways that we are called financially to support the ministries of this church. In the fall, they invite us to think about how much we can commit to the ministries of this church in the year ahead. Now, if this is your first Sunday at FCC Natick or one of your first Sundays, all of this might feel strange or irrelevant to you. But I think conversations about money are always helpful for our own self-reflection. Anyway, we're going to jump in a time machine this morning and eavesdrop on a stewardship team meeting from a few months ago. One note, Gail M. is a member of the team, but she isn't feeling well, so she's watching from home. Hi, Gail. And understudy Dee Dee will be filling in.
Lane, what are you doing?
I'm getting ready for our stewardship meeting.
By meditating?
I'm imagining. Remember, our theme this year is imagining together. We were all supposed to spend some time imagining what God is calling us to accomplish in the year ahead.
So, how's it going?
Well, Bill, I'm imagining why we need microphones for our meetings now, and that this meeting will be really short.
Well, I'm imagining that you all read the materials we're going to use in this year's campaign.
Which materials?
You know, the packet from the denomination, with the scripture passage and the sermon starters and all the prayers, all the stuff we'll use to help the congregation imagine together what we'll do in 2025.
We don't need all that. We just need to imagine one thing, a balanced budget. We just need everyone to fill out the pledge form, keep their pledge up to date, watch expenses carefully, and then we can imagine nice, short, finance team meetings.
Oh, Bill, that might have worked years ago, but now we know better. People give because they want to be part of something, because they know their contribution matters. They give to make a difference, not just balance a budget.
Hey, are we saying we aren't doing a fall stewardship campaign? Hey, this will be a short meeting.
No. I don't think that's what Jeanette means. You remember we now do year-round stewardship? We talk about giving and the impact we have all year round. But every fall, we ask everyone in the congregation to think about what they can contribute in the year ahead, to think about the impact this church has on their lives and the community, and to make a financial commitment for the next year.
So we can balance the budget.
Bill, you are absolutely right. We use those promises that people make to figure out our spending plan for the year ahead, and then vote on it as a congregation in the new year. But it's more than that, too. Not to sound too churchy, but it's a spiritual practice. When the rest of the world tells you to buy more and make more and keep more, we're inviting people to practice abundance and creativity and generosity.
I was totally with you up through when you said I was absolutely right. Then the rest was a little woo-woo.
And you know what? That's okay. People have different reasons for giving. And some people are giving so we can do lots of awesome things and still have a balanced budget. That's a good reason to give, too. But I'm having some trouble with the words we use and these mics. We talk about people being pledgers, which sounds like we're all rushing a fraternity or something. And we call the whole program stewardship. And every time I hear that, I think about Steward Healthcare going bankrupt, and I want to call it Steward Sinking Ship.
Well, you know, when I worked at WGBH, people who gave regularly were called sustainers.
I really like that. People who make a commitment for the year ahead are sustaining our ministry together. And I don't just mean helping us balance the budget. They are sustaining faith formation and worship and outreach and our presence in downtown Natick, thanks to their generosity.
Hey, maybe we should call the whole thing generosity instead of stewardship. That's what we're really inviting people to, generosity.
You know, this has been a really creative and thoughtful meeting. I wonder if it's because we spent time imagining before we started talking.
I wonder what would happen if we invited the congregation to join us in imagining together what God is calling us to do and to be in the year ahead. Maybe it would balance the budget, Bill. But even more important, maybe it would help us think in new ways and open us to even more creativity and vitality.
So just to recap, this fall, we're going to invite everyone in the congregation to be sustainers, right?
Yeah,
and we're going to be the generosity team instead of stewardship.
Yeah.
Okay.
That works.
And we're going to invite people to imagine what God is calling us to do in the year ahead.
Yeah.
And maybe I miss working for public radio, but I'd really like to imagine more sustainers this year.
How about we imagine 75 sustainers for 2025?
75 households making a commitment to sustain our ministry in the year ahead.
75 households imagining what we can do together.
Let's do it. Can I still imagine shorter meetings?
Sure, Lane.
Ovaltine.
Yeah, just stay right there. I love that the former stewardship team is imagining doing things differently. And now we are all invited to join the generosity team in imagining what God is calling us to do in the year ahead. Generosity materials go out to the congregation this week with the invitation that you bring your sustainer form with you to worship on November 10th when we'll celebrate an in-gathering of commitments for 2025. You've heard the goal of the generosity team, 75 sustainers for the year ahead. They put the challenge out to council early,
And we begin this generosity season with every member of council committed to being a sustainer in 2025. So we have 11 sustainer commitments as of this morning, just 64 left to go. Imagine what we can do together. Amen. The tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. And so folks at home, I invite you, if you haven't already done so, to find yourself a bit of food and drink. Folks in person, you'll be invited to come forward to receive cup and bread, taking both back to your seat that we might all eat and drink together. You can also raise your hand to be served in your seat. And again, every aspect of this service is open to anyone who would like to participate, and you're also free not to participate. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Yeah, Dan. Oh, so welcome to the world. And did you say the baby's name is Lily? And how many L's do we have over there? Also one L? Lily with the one, well, it actually is two L's, but one at the beginning and one at the middle. Okay, all right. But still, welcome to the world, Lily. Other joys, Bill. We have Future Furniture Movers of America in our playground this morning, and it is such a joy. I love when folks come to visit the church, and I'm like, this is the busiest part of our sanctuary. It makes me so happy. I was able to see, oh, I'm sorry, Janet, go ahead. Mark and Maggie are getting married. Congratulations to them both. Thanks, Janet. So a week ago, we had the showing of the Where Can I Live movie with over 100 people in here and great conversation. And last night, the festival was an awesome display of talent in the area. Huge thanks to everybody who helped, and especially Lane, who really drove this whole thing. So huge thanks to Lane, who's upstairs on the slides. Yeah. Declan. Thank you. Declan. Clearly. Declan had an MRI on Thursday, and it was the kind he had to go in, and so he had to go to sleep in order to have the MRI. This is a stressful situation. Declan did it. He did it. And he is grateful for God's presence with him throughout the whole thing, even the stinging spray. God was there with him the whole time. We're so glad, Declan. Sarah Lynn. So Catherine, Sarah Lynn's daughter Catherine, her husband Ethan were able to come up to Connecticut to work for a while, and Sarah Lynn thoroughly enjoyed having them closer. They now are following new opportunities back in D.C. Sarah Lynn has packed and unpacked this couple so many times. She's just an awesome mom, and we are so glad that they are off on this new adventure that will give Sarah Lynn more reasons to take time off and go to D.C. We pray blessings upon them. Didi.
So my family lives in a part of South Carolina that was also very impacted by the disease. And even though it's been a tough week and a half, they are all safe. Oh. Almost all of them have power. Oh. And they all have a place to be and food. And so I'm just joyful that they're all fine, even though this is a really difficult
time. Yeah. Much damage? So yeah, so they are dealing with, oh, okay, yeah, I totally get the, yeah. So Dee Dee's family, like many of our families and friends, lives in the path of Hurricane Helene. It's been a rough week and a half. Some damage, but manageable. The good thing is most of them have power back on. They're all safe. They have a place to stay, and that's a lot to be grateful for right now. Thanks, Dee Dee. Lane, do you have any joys up
here? We have a plethora of joys up here today. So the first is from Miriam. She says she's thankful for the support from the FCC and the Outreach Committee and the Natick community to send supplies to North Carolina. They filled three vehicles, and Doug and Sarah H. and Kirsten M. and her friend Jane D. drove two of them to the fire department in Townsend, Mass. And from there, the goods went to North Carolina. We let our brothers and sisters in North Carolina show them that they are not alone.
Huge thanks to Miriam and Maggie for organizing the Natick part of this drive to the Carolinas and the firefighters in Townsend. This is the second time that they've done this in response to a disaster.
And from Simone G, she says, yesterday, families of color unite in support, focus, hosted an apple picking event, and there were 16 people in attendance.
That is awesome. Simone started this group, Focus, Families of Color. Families of Color?
Unite us.
Unite and support. Sorry, the word unite. And she has been bringing such awesome programs and connections for families of color in Natick. 16 people apple picking yesterday. That's fabulous.
And then this is a repeat from last week, but Maureen M's daughter, Carolyn, had her third child. And this Maureen's fourth grandchild, so prayers of joy for the family and the new addition.
We celebrate this joy with Maureen and Bob. Yeah. Thanks, Lane.
And I would also like to celebrate Tom and Beth and Randy and you too. You did an awesome job putting that all together. I was just there to be made fun of, so.
I think you were making fun of me. I think, yeah. We'll duke that out later. But yes, huge thanks to everybody who participated. I was able to see Lorraine this week. Lorraine is still getting PT in rehab treatment for her foot. She's hoping to come home this week. She can't see the service at Oak Knoll, but she sends her love and she's in good spirits. Any joys we missed? What concerns do you bring to this place today? Last week we were praying for Christine W.'s brother and best friend, Tommy, as he's been dealing with a whole bunch of health issues. Sadly, Tommy died this past week. He lives in Florida, where he's lived for a long time, but Tommy's wife and family had good support around, and Christine has been in very close contact with them, but we hold Christine and the whole family in our prayers. Lane, what do you have? No concerns. Did I miss any? Beloved, come to the table of one whose footprints are on tundra, desert, delta, the Sea of Galilee, brush, and forest, and whose good news speaks in Swahili, Spanish, and sign, Mandarin, Portuguese, and Braille, Pashto, HTML, and Te Reo Maori. Come to the breaking of rice cake, fry bread, and tortilla, the laying down of roti and wafer, the passing of matzah and naan, and the pouring of Merlot or Concord grape, tea or Manischewitz, water or coconut milk. Come to a meal with a global guest list. There is no save the date. It is now. We have been so divided in ideas and solutions. We have separated ourselves and felt so alone. We have been so divorced from each other, it seems impossible we could come together. But here God invites us, through all that separates and divides us, to find wholeness in our brokenness. We gather around this table as a global community to remember and believe that in the bread we are one, in the cup we are united. At this table we are needed, and together here we create a new vision for ourselves and this world. Nothing can separate us from each other and from love. And in this feast, we'll become whole again. Let us fill our emptiness by sitting together here and now, distant in pews and virtual tenderness, as people do around the world, to eat and drink, be blessed and whole. We remember the stories that Jesus' friends tell, stories of bread broken and shared, feeding a multitude, stories of being gathered together, enemy and friend around tables, stories of healing offered to those at the very margins of society, stories of unlikely guests revealing the face of the sacred. They say it was on a night of both celebration and betrayal that Jesus took the bread left over on the table, blessed it, and broke it, reminding them that it is in the breaking we become whole, in losing our lives that we find them, in serving that we are served. As the grain scattered becomes one in the loaf, when we eat this bread, we become one with one another. They say that Jesus took the cup also left over on the table, poured out for sharing, remembering with them the life-giving breath, even now pounding a rhythm through our own veins, the breath of life from whence we come, the breath that precedes and follows all that we can see. As the grapes find life in the vine, when we drink this cup, we become at one with this source of life itself. On this World Communion Sunday, our communion table is wide and long. At the front of our sanctuary, it's the same dimensions as always, but in our hearts, it stretches infinitely left and right. And as we are nourished with the abundance of this meal, we share not only with people who are a street or town or state away, we also share with people we will never know, who speak languages we will never understand and live in places we will never see. But this morning, they're here with us, filling the very air with all the hopes and fears and pain and joy that they, like us, bring to this table. We join with our brothers and sisters and siblings around the world in the rekindling of our faith. So in this sanctuary and at home, I invite you to raise your hands in blessing on the food and drink we have gathered before us in recognition of God's presence at our tables. Let us pray. God bless the spoons, chopsticks, flatbread, and fingers of all your children. Bless every meeting of hunger and generosity. Bless our memories of food shared and our hopes for food justice. Bless the peace of our joy-filled cup, the pieces of our broken bread, that this may become a sacred meal, a pledge of open table, a sign of our care for earth itself, a declaration that all beings, all things are made holy by your love. The love shown to us so powerfully in Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Sharing the bread, reminder of God's presence, we become God's body in the world. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Please come forward, for all is ready. The cup of joy in which all are held. Let us pray in thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for love and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen.
Communion Sundays, we take a special offering for the Communion Fund. The Congregational Care Team oversees that fund, and generally it's used to help local folks dealing with financial need. The teams agreed that this month, contributions would best be put to work in response to Hurricane Helene. Folks on site can use the special offering envelopes and see other options in your bulletin. In the room, we're going to pass the plates from person to person, up and down each row. If you are adding a donation to the plate, we invite you to place it with intention, picturing the people, say, in the Carolinas who need our help. If you don't have money to put in the plate, please still hold it with intention before passing it on. You might still picture the people impacted by the hurricane and send them your love and prayers. Folks at home, you don't need to have an offering plate handed to you to join in as well. Just cup your hands and breathe in and out in prayer. On this World Communion Sunday, the spiritual discipline of the morning offering connects our hearts across time and space. God of abundance, bless these gifts, and especially those who need them desperately. May they feel not just our support, but our prayers. Amen. Our closing hymn is the next one. This is my song. Yeah. Beloved, all hands together to hold the wounded, all hands together to make the bread, all hands together to work for freedom, all hands together to change the world. Go in peace. Amen.